Welcome to the Bougie Black Brother Network.
Thank y'all for tuning in to the Hidden Gem Show. This is your boy Sean, and I have another wonderful interview today. And we have Madeline from Madeline's Edibles here today. How you doing today, Madeline?
I'm well. It's a pleasure to be here. Pleasure to be on the show. Thank you for the opportunity.
Awesome. Awesome. I'm checking out your pad. This is luxurious. I'm talking about like real upscale stuff. For real, for real. So I really appreciate you for letting us come to the pad.
It's a pleasure to have you. Thank you very much. And thank you for the compliment.
No problem, man. Now, in your pad, I see you got a couple of turntables. Now, these are like real turntables, like raw, real turntables. I wish Pop Deuce was here to see them. His head would blow off right now. But they look brand new. Where'd you get these turntables from?
Oh, yeah. So the history behind the turntables, before I broke into the music scene, that was my start. I had a mentor with Connections DJs, and at that time I didn't have any equipment. So about 3 or 4 months ago, I reached out to this gentleman on Craigslist, and he had them in mint condition that was passed down to him from his father. I'm going back to get the amp, but yeah, those are mint condition right there. No scratches, fresh out the case with the speakers and the amp.
That's fire. So you used to DJ?
No, I didn't used to. I'm learning. I'm teaching myself how to DJ and play the keyboard.
Oh, and you teaching yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. So you said you was in the music game. Tell me about your experience in the music game and what all you did.
Sure. So I started that about 3 years ago. I was working at Enterprise as a check-in agent at the car rental agency. And I had a good friend of mine that used to make beats out of one of the minivans. And I'm like, yo, what are you doing? And he showed me. So I took a liking to that. But then one day I looked up and he was like, hey, can you manage me? And I thought about it. I had managed a couple of people at Foot Locker. I was a manager there for 3 or 4 years. And then I had my father's store where I was in charge of their employees there. So I'm like, well, okay, how hard can this be? So I took on the role as his manager, and that was my foot in the door. So okay. I've been doing that for the past 3 years.
Okay. And what were you doing before that then?
Working a 9-to-5, man. Working a 9-to-5.
So where are you originally from?
I am originally from Brooklyn, New York, Bed-Stuy. Two times for that. But I was raised in Miami. So in 88, my family retired. My grandparents retired. And they moved down to South Florida. And officially, Miami raised me.
Okay. So that's who you was raised by?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Why did it take you so long to start managing music?
Man, that's a great question. So that goes back to my upbringing. My family's from the islands.
Okay.
And they were very strict, especially the age range. Like my grandmother, she grew up, she was born in 1928, and when she was raised as a slave.
Wow.
So the treatment that she got was embedded on us and her children. So they had this idea that either you're going to be a doctor, a lawyer, you know, that kind of thing. So when I started out, I initially started out in pre-med. I went to magnet school for civil engineering. Then in high school, I went for pre-med. In college, I was just lost. So why is it that I'm picking it up now? Because now I'm coming into my own and my own identity to find out who I am and what I like and what my passion is. So that was the stretch. And I wouldn't say it's a delay. It's actually a growing opportunity.
So you feel like it was you needed it in your growth to get to this point?
Absolutely, because even though I did different jobs here and there, right, I'm able to pick up certain pieces of each one and tie it into management. So when I was teaching, when I first got to Atlanta in 2006, I was teaching.
Okay.
The same way you teach is the same way you have to facilitate information to your employees and
right,
understand that they all have different learning styles. So it's easier for you to break down material to them when you're dealing with different personalities. So that was one aspect. Sales and management. You have to be able to sell your product. Your client is your product when you are managing somebody. So I was able to pull that in. So I pulled in different elements to make one big component work for me with management.
I like that. I like that. So what type of, real quick, what type of teaching did you do when you got down here?
When I got to Atlanta, I did special ed.
Okay.
Pre-K. So I had the younger kids. I had kids with autism.
All right. So you went to the edible game. So yeah, you're not doing a 9-to-5 anymore? That's like you're done with the 9-to-5 thing?
Yeah, I've always realized, like, I didn't like taking directions from other people. I didn't like having to report to someone. And then when I started calculating what I was bringing in revenue to companies and corporations and what they were making versus what I was taking home, I took a step back and I looked at my colleagues around me who had been invested in a job for 13 years on their pen and 20 years. And I'm like, you still doing the same thing, but you're complaining? So I'm like, why not act? I can't just sit here and be one of you guys. I need to step out. So universe gave me an opportunity to step out in 2015. My grandmother passed away, and when I came back, they fired me because of the time that I had taken off. But of course, they did it in a different way because that wouldn't be legal. At that point in time, I saw it, but I didn't take the opportunity fully because I started driving Uber and Lyft, and I ended up working for a massage company and then State Farm.
Okay.
After I left all of that, I was at State Farm in April, and I'm like, I'm tired of this phone buzzing in my ear. Let me just step out and go. And I had a couple of people that were doing edibles, and I'm like, I can do that. That's all they're doing, but I'm going to make mine better. There's three elements to my edibles that make my edibles stand out from everybody else. The presentation, the quality, and the customer service and rapport that I built with my clients.
I like that.
So they're my clients. It's not like your traditional edible dealer or organization where it's like, oh, we got treats or, you know, and it's not personable, or it's kind of, I don't want to say hood, but it doesn't have any class to it.
Okay.
So I said, okay, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this right. I want people to remember me. Even if they don't like the edibles, or if it's not strong enough, they could remember their experience that they had. They can go back and say, okay, well, this person was very professional in their approach.
Okay. So your representation is huge when you're trying to sell your product.
Absolutely.
I like that. Customer service is everything. You can have the worst product, but have the best customer service and they'll come back.
Absolutely.
So yeah, I do like that. So since we're in Atlanta, I want to go ahead and stick with the script. You make your edibles strictly with oils, is that correct?
Yes, I make everything from scratch myself.
Okay.
So when it comes to the process of the oils, I do that all myself. I don't outsource that. Everything is in-house. And I'm currently working on a vegan line as well because I'm a vegan myself. And I feel like I should be standing behind, you know, my belief in what it is that I'm doing. So I'm going to get with the chef, and I want the vegan line to be as tasty as the regular line so I can pull that regular line all together.
Okay, get into a little bit more detail with your vegan line. Like, what type of things is going to be, like, your major promoting ones, if you can get into that?
Absolutely, sure. So my first one would be kind of like my point guard, which are the brownies.
Mm-hmm.
So that will be the first one to go off, and it holds the most oil, so that's going to be the most potent.
Okay.
The second in charge would be the Rice Krispie Treats. People love those. It's really simple with that, and they're already vegan marshmallows that I can go out and purchase.
Okay.
So it's just the marshmallows, the Rice Krispies, and the oil. So those would be my main two that I'd jump off with first.
Now, what surprised you about your path with this, your edible path, like? What was your most shocking moments getting into the game?
Honestly, I would have to say I started it for financial reasons to be able to stay afloat. But I've taken an appreciation for it because I see the opportunity to heal people with it. So a couple of my clients, they're dealing with ailments such as cancer, lupus. And then I had another one that was in a really bad car accident. Or sometimes they're in surgery and they can't, you know, utilize another source, so then they outsource the edibles. So being able to help people in that manner, I like that.
Yeah, that was important, and that was I'm sure that was a big surprise, because when I met Rashawn, and when he was when I noticed how many people he was actually help heal and help survive, it was like wow, it really does do way more than just what we, you know, originally thought about it. So what was your experience on marijuana or cannabis growing up? Like, in Miami, was that like a big thing in your household, or, you know, did you recently just start partaking? Well, not necessarily partaking. Did you recently just start being a participant of the field during your edible journey?
Sure. So, like I told you, I grew up in a strict household. So, no, definitely didn't go down there. I had an uncle that it was like this thing, like you knew, but you didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
My father, come to find out, he was, you know, into the game back in the 80s, again, in Brooklyn,
okay.
the 70s and the 80s, and my mom as well. But I didn't find out about that until later on because my grandparents raised me. So my personal experience, I didn't touch it, didn't know what it looked like until my adult life.
Okay.
I was sheltered from all of that. And I didn't have a desire to do anything with it until maybe about a couple of years ago, getting into the music industry and being around individuals there.
Right.
So I'm glad that I'm introduced to it now because I can control it. I don't have an issue with it, in opposed to being a kid in my teens, rebelling and doing
being
this.
Peer pressure.
Yeah. Luckily I didn't have to go through that, but it does help, especially now with me getting into this car accident. I have a cream that I also distribute, and that has been helping tremendously with my neck and my arm.
And it's consists of cannabis oil?
It does. Okay. It's 26% THC. It's a hybrid.
Okay.
And it takes about 26 minutes to kick in.
And it's just rubbing oil?
Yes. You just rub it. It has like a minty smell to it, and it tingles a little bit, kind of like you applying Bengay onto a particular area.
Okay.
But it does soothe that.
So it's like an icy hot.
Right, right.
Fire.
Or a tiger balm or something like that, yeah.
And you make that?
That is outsourced. I don't.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
No.
Okay. I got you. That's awesome. That's really awesome.
But what I got coming for y'all for the wintertime, I can't talk about it, but once I drop it, I'll give you the exclusive on it and then let you try it out. But it's going to be bananas. It's not going to be like your traditional head or body high, but for those of you who are in pain, excruciating pain from a car accident or any diseases or ailments,
mm-hmm.
you can just sit, soak, and relax.
Got you. Got you. I like that, and I can't wait. Well, I want to have another interview when you drop that.
Absolutely. Most
so, definitely. Yeah, we'll get the exclusive on that. Is there any people that inspired you or motivate you on this journey of just, as you call it, sinking or swim?
Sure. When it comes to the sink or swim, I was talking to my mentor about that, and he inspires me a lot. I get a lot of information from him. I watch how he moves. And he empowers me. The other individual that I look up to on the cannabis side would be Damian Marley, who has the farm out there in California that's placed inside of a jailhouse. So he turns something negative into a positive.
Okay.
And then he's also the owner of High Times magazine. Not too many people know that.
Okay. So do you travel a lot? Is that one of your things?
Yes and no. So last year was my first time traveling out of the country. Mm-hmm. I went to Europe. And I went to Trinidad and Tobago the year before that. So this year I said I wanted to touch all 7 continents and travel locally as well. So Spirit has been calling me to Colorado. That's going to be the next move.
Okay.
And then Louisiana.
I like that. Yeah, I haven't been to Louisiana yet. I heard that is the place to be.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So the places that you have been, what's one of your favorite places to go?
London.
London?
Yeah, London is dope. Like, the culture out there is bananas. They have this thing called dub. It's a type of music.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing. Like I said, the culture. And then as an American being over there and them engaging with you and their questions and
right.
they're kind of naive to certain things because of what they see on TV.
Right,
so,
right, yeah.
You know, it's an opportunity to kind of debunk some of the stuff that's being portrayed out there as African Americans.
Interesting, interesting. London. I gotta put that one on the bucket list.
Sure.
Okay, and what would you tell all the entrepreneurs out here that's trying to get off of this corporate plantation, you know, that's really trying to build their business? What would your advice be for them?
Trust the process and don't be scared.
Okay.
Because fear is the number one thing that, I mean, fear, it develops in your body, and that's how you get sick. When you're fearful, you have anxiety, you have, it shows, like, heart attacks, things of that nature. So don't be fearful and definitely trust the process because it's not going to be easy. I've taken screenshots of my car on E. I remember a month ago, I had $7 in my pocket. And I'm like, how am I going to eat? Within two phone calls that night of somebody wanting deliveries, I came up $180 from $77 that I had that night. So you have to trust the process. But you'll know if it's for you or if it's not too. And that's what my mentor taught me. That was one of the greatest lessons I took away from him with the whole sink or swim thing. It's not for everybody. Whether it's music, whether it's art, fashion, edibles, you'll know if it's for you.
Okay.
Because you'll get that sign and you'll get pulled back in. But if nothing's happening, you know, find something else to do.
Okay. So what has changed in your life from having that idea of creating Madeline's Edibles to now?
My awareness and my perspective of the cannabis industry. Because like I said, initially, it was just a financial thing. And I didn't even know the strands starting out. I was just making them and going.
Okay.
And now I pause and I step back and I watch how other people move and I review their pages. And I'm learning the strands. I'm learning the percentage of THC, the difference between CBD oil versus THC oil, and how it impacts the body. Like I said, that's very important to me because I feel like the next step for me is fulfilling my holistic path in nutrition. So that's going to make sense with that.
Right.
So
now it definitely sounds like you have been through a few things. Do you have like certain particular pains that you go through?
Absolutely. So I have migraines. My mom, my sister, well, her mom died of a brain aneurysm, so they suffer with migraines. I was fortunate enough to never have to suffer with migraines until I started at my old job. And I think it was a lighting thing and the stress.
Mm-hmm.
Then I had a poor diet before I was even eating clean. Once I ate clean, I saw all of that go away and diminish. But as of right now, since the last accident that I had, my arm, my neck, and my head, and a lot of headaches have been coming in from that accident. So
you've been into several, well, a couple of accidents.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you feel like those things happened for your growth and for your learning experience to where you're at now?
Absolutely. I remember my first accident was in Tallahassee. I was 19, 20 years old, and I had to go home after that. But that showed me I wasn't ready to be all the way in Tallahassee away from my family.
Oh, okay.
That was the first one. The second one came maybe about a year or two after that. My car spun. I was on 75 back home in Miami. I hit the wall. That humbled me because I took living with my grandparents. You know, I took it as an advantage and I didn't appreciate it. So that humbled me. The one that I had at work, it was negligent, but this one right here, this last one, taught me to slow down.
Okay.
And I had been manifesting success and finances and trying to get back to a stable place because, like I told you, I've been playing with the whole sink or swim thing for the past 6 months. So I look at that as I don't have a car note.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have car insurance. That's maybe a $600, $500 to $600 note. Bill that I get to save every month now.
Yeah.
And I'm figuring it out. Uber is dope. And I'm working from home, so I don't need that expense. So now it's opening up a door for Revenue Street to come in to take care of something else.
Interesting. I like how you put that. Because I didn't think about it like that. You making moves the way you making moves, you're absolutely right. It would be a waste of money to have a note and consistently put gas in the tank on top of your note, on top of your insurance, you know, when you can literally put that back into the business, you know, and flourish off of that. Dang, I'm gonna have to put that into my I'm really gonna have to apply.
Because I got that. Real talk, I got a bike. Yeah. I just got a bike. It's on
like
the balcony.
A bicycle,
yeah. Okay. And I want to take it back to how it was when I was growing up. And I'm like, I could get on my bike and ride.
Ain't nothing. And you know what? You got to go back to the roots. Ain't nothing wrong with that.
Not at all.
I totally agree with that.
With food, mentality,
yeah.
You know, consciousness, like, you got to go back to that.
You got to go back to the basics. So what would be your favorite Bible scripture quote? Or a proverb that you like live by, or you've been kind of running since you can remember?
So I have a couple, but My favorite is manifest your destiny because what you want already exists. It's already out there. And to break that down, when it came to electricity, it already existed. It just took somebody to manifest that. Right. So it starts with a thought, and then you break it down, and you make it a thing. The money that you want to obtain already exists. You just got to go get it. And that goes back to the first question that you asked prior about people who are struggling. Whatever you want, it's there already. That car, that house, that person you want to talk to and meet. In 2016, I spent my year meeting people that I wanted to meet, doing things that I wanted to do. You asked about traveling. I'm going to do that. It's not like, nah, I don't know. No, it's there. Figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
And my whole thing, Malcolm X, by any means necessary. That is what I live by. I got to figure it out by any means necessary. There is no no.
I like that. I like that. And on that note, we're going to wrap this up again. Let them know how they can reach you and where they can touch on and get your edibles from.
Absolutely. So the edibles, the creams, the teas, you can go to Madeline's Edibles. That's MadelinesEdibles. And that's at Instagram. Again, Madeline's Edibles on Instagram. MadelinesEdibles. And I appreciate you guys for listening, and thank you for having me on your show. I'm very humbled.
Not a problem. Not a problem. The spirits, the universe sent me to you. So, you know, I wanted to follow through with this one, you know. So, and I appreciate it, again, to your point, man. I do this wave and the direction that you're going, you know, we have to create our own narrative. You know, we have to continue to give each other the directions that we need to go. You know, and you're going in the direction that we all need to be seeing and we all need to be focused on, you know. And that's honestly, that's health and happiness. You know, at the end of the day, it's health and happiness, you know. So I see that in you and I feel it and I know what it's worth. So I wanted it audio. You know what I'm saying? So but other than that, yep. Again, tune in again to Hidden Gems. What, within the next 2 weeks, and we'll have another interview for y'all. Appreciate y'all for tuning in. Peace.
Peace.